听力课堂，听 class.com。
Okay, today we're talking about a real sensitive issue. This is abortion and, of course, sexual education. It all kind of combines into each other. This is Vib.
Yeah, this is Daisy. Yes, very heated topic. I don't know. What do you think, Bo?
This is Bo. That's short for Bocephus. Anyway, I think this is a hot topic and all over the world. So let's dig our heels in and get going.
Yeah, the life-giving force that we all have inside of us, that procreative impulse that just seems to keep on going like a spark that can never be snuffed out. Let's rap, gang.
Rap!
Hello, everyone. Welcome. And let's introduce ourselves.
How you doing? This is Luke.
And I'm Bo.
And I'm Daisy.
And this is Bib. Today's topic is sexual education. And let's start off by saying, hey, where did you guys start off? I mean, how'd you get your sexual education?
Well, actually, I was kind of brought up in a very strict Catholic family. And my mother was very reluctant to tell me about anything. Actually, my funny story, my sister asked me to go to the store and buy her some tampons. And I'd never heard this word before, didn't even know what they were. So I went to the shop and I asked the guy for some tampons and he gave them to me, looking at these tiny little cotton things, thinking, what the hell are these? I had no idea. So I gave them to my sister and asked her what they were. And she said, ask Mum. And then I asked my mother, and she wouldn't tell me for like 2 months, and I kept hounding her. So she gave me this book that was like published in the 60s, and it still had pictures of women that used to wear those sanitary belts that they attached sanitary napkins to, and I couldn't understand any of the words. I didn't even know what a penis or a vagina was.
Oh, Daisy, this is brutal.
And I was pronouncing the word as penis and vagina.
Oh.
And my cousin came to visit me and he was like talking about sex. And I said, I know what sex is. And he said, oh, no, you don't. What is it? And I said, well, it's when a man puts his penis in the woman's vagina.
Can I ask how old you were when you first, like,
when I got this? I probably would have been about 10 or 11,
really?
I guess. Yeah.
Oh. And what about school education?
There was an attempt at educating students when I was, I guess, in grade 4 or 5. I must have been just prepubescent at that time,
right.
12, thereabouts, 11 or 12. And they would take all the boys and shuttle them into another room, and they would leave all the girls in the classroom that they were in. And then the gym instructor would take us all and would explain basic things very nervously. He was a gym instructor. He was about physical education. He was, part of his job description was not teaching a bunch of horny prepubescent boys about sex. But because the curriculum had changed, he sort of got stuck with the job. And I mean, it's kind of stupid. I mean, it has to be done. But the thing is, by that time, a lot of kids really do know quite a bit about sex just because they have older brothers or sisters who sort of fill them in on stuff. Or their friends do, and they've learned stuff from their friends in a lot of cases. So I kind of knew a lot of stuff, but it still was good to have that, I think, because it sort of solidified a lot of things just so that you wouldn't be embarrassed if it ever came up. Like,
yeah.
I know there was a lot of tension for me because there were a lot of spaces missing in the whole sex thing that I wanted to get, like, you know, get smart with eventually before I actually was going to be with a girl. I didn't want to like just get there and be like, "Don't, I never learned that part," you know. So it wasn't necessary. No, well, I mean, but they just tell you just the general things. You don't want to go into it, you know, your big romantic first encounter and end up looking like a spaz just because
right.
you didn't want to, you know, ask your buddy like, what's that for? Like, how do you use that or whatever?
Right. Well, what about the parental aspect? I mean, did your parents ever, like, come in and ask you or tell you anything?
My father would sometimes come up to me and ask me if there was anything that I wanted to know, that I was curious about. Is there any, you know, sort of things that you're probably, you know, starting to become a man now? Is there anything that you're curious about or want to know about? And, of course, for me, I was just like, no, that's all right, Dad. I'm fine. And he's like, all right, great. Well, let's see what's on TV. And that was good enough for us.
And then next week he'd come back and
check
you again.
Yeah, every once in a while. Just sort of, you know, just letting you know that, you know, I'm here if you do want to talk about this stuff. If you don't, that's probably, you know, just as good, if not better.
Well, but, that's great.
He was available for that.
Mm. Okay. How about you, Bo?
Well, my sexual education was a little bit warped, and I think it kind of almost made me a deviant almost because of it, because it was kind of in little clips of things. So, like, I guess, like Luke was saying, when he was fourth grade or fifth grade, you start to think about it and what happens. And then there are some, you know, promiscuous people in that grade too, and sure there are. And there was this couple, and they were supposedly going out, and there was a rumor that they had sex. So then everyone in that grade was like really interested in what happened. What happened? And they said, well, they did it, and then they both got sick. So like we thought that's like what happened after, if you do it, you know, too early or something, you get sick. But then like the second part of it was like after that, I actually caught my parents doing it. Like I just like walked into the room and I thought like my dad was like hurting my mother. So I said, Dad, you're hurting Mom. And he's like, no, just go back to bed. We're okay. And then where it gets worse is because I went to a Catholic school, they kind of mask sex education as health in health class. So you take health, but you're taught sex education by a really big, a fat 90-year-old nun who says, if anybody laughs, I'm going to whack you in the back of the head. So people laughed, and I laughed, and then like she'd be like, this is the penis, and this is the vagina. Boom, you get whacked in the back of the head. So now, like, when I have relations, I feel like I'm going to get whacked in the back of the head any minute.
Which you do anyway.
If you giggle during
relations. Yeah, and it turns me on.
It's still true, though. If you laugh during any sort of sexual stuff, you usually get a slap in the face or a smack in the head.
Queef.
Are we talking from experience here, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, yeah. I haven't had sex yet. No,
so
sure.
But I think nowadays, like I sound like a real dad because, when I was back in school, but it's true. Like, I think the people have become more aware of it, at least in America, and they're making it a priority that kids take this sex ed as a whole class and not just under the guise of health class.
Right. I think in the past 10, maybe 15 years, especially in the American school system, with the addition of sex education, it may not necessarily be a class. You can select it as an elective once you enter high school, but usually you get this class during the end of your elementary or beginning of your junior high years. You get a couple of classes with the health teacher or the nurse, and they teach you, you know, all the basic functions of the body, including, you know, all the sexual parts. And that has changed the educational system a lot. As a matter of fact, there's lots of parents who are totally against having sex ed in school. They don't like the fact that this school is teaching it. And so usually you get parental permission before your child right. can enter that class.
Well, when I was in elementary school, I went to a Catholic school, and they didn't teach it in the school. But what they did to satisfy the parents who wanted the education was have all the kids go to the local church after school and sit down while the priest and the nun gave us sex education, which is ironic.
That sounds similar to Beau's situation.
Right. Well,
that's why that, you know, Catholic schoolgirls have such a bad reputation, because they do just the opposite of what they're not supposed to
exactly.
do.
Exactly. But basically just the biological functions they taught us, you know, a woman menstruates and this is what happens. And then when I went to high school, I had a class like that. It was called health, but they were very liberal. They taught us about contraception, sexual diseases, everything from drugs, tobacco, alcohol, mm-hmm. all those things that, you know, I guess kids are tempted by. And I thought it was good. And actually, I found the class very interesting because I never had that education in elementary school. And I know more, I think, about those things like sexual diseases than any of my friends do because I remembered that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to teach kids that, that give them that sexual education.
The thing that's strange are the statistics, like today, because, you know, in the, say, from the 40s, for example, to the 60s or late 50s, even though the sex education, it was kind of like weird to talk about and it was really scientific and stuff, but there was less teenage pregnancy then than
right.
there is now when they're really adamant about teaching these things in school.
Yeah.
So, like, is it just that the kids are not listening or do they think they know more than more people? I don't know.
I think it's that. I think the reason that parents are against it is because they think that their children are becoming educated about the wrong things at too early an age. But the truth is that kids are growing up. They're maturing a lot faster.
Right. They're much more promiscuous than they used to be.
Not necessarily even promiscuous, but I mean they sort of come of age a little earlier.
Mm.
And they go through those changes a little earlier. And the thing is they are going to be educated. They're going to learn about sex and they're going to be curious about it from a young age. And it's probably better that, like, I mean, they learn about it on TV and in movies and in music and on the internet. But they don't have that sort of educational aspect and that sort of like what you should do and maybe what you shouldn't do. And that's why sex education, it's not like they're going to just go through life not ever hearing about sex and not wondering about it or being curious about
right.
it if they don't get sex education. But the sex education is good in that it sort of says, now just be smart about it, you know, like put this on or use this or like maybe it's better to wait. You know, you got to think of your options and they won't get that out of a school setting. They just get... sex is dirty and it's kind of interesting and they're just curious about it and they want to learn about it.
For me, you know, my parents never sat me down. Even to this day, we've never talked about that topic. I mean, we never had that birds and the bees little talk that everyone gets. So my first contact with that kind of information was in elementary school, just like Luke said. We had the little class where the school nurse actually took you aside and separated you and told you about the anatomy. And perhaps the girls could, you know, run into their menstrual cycle anytime soon now, and you should go talk to your parents. And they give us a little sample of the sanitary napkins. And so when I first ran into my little accident, you know, I had that little sample that the teacher gave me. And so thank God, you know, because my mom and I never talked about that. And then my second encounter with that sort of information was in junior high when we had the health class that Daisy was talking about. We had the health class where you talked about all sorts of things, starting with drugs and going down to, you know, the anatomy and sex and whatnot. And I think when you're younger, because children talk, oh, she went out with so-and-so on this date and they did this and that. And of course, you know, the movies and videos and all sorts of information that you get on TV. There's a lot of things that aren't factual. But, you know, lots of rumored things that you think may be true. And sexual education kind of reinforces what you know and what may not be factual. And a lot of myths get cleared out of the way, you know, about STDs and AIDS and drugs and getting this disease and that. And, of course, pregnancy and whatnot.
Yeah, okay. But I think one of the things that you're saying is that you were unfortunate to not have the talk with your parents like everybody does. I don't think many people do get that talk, actually. I think it's very rare that people do. And I think, like, that movie American Pie, that's why it was so funny with the father, Eugene Levy.
Right.
Like, China, son, here's a couple magazines for you. It was so everybody could relate to that because that's what parents do. I think it's just kind of weird to talk to your kids about it. And they try to do it because they think it's their duty. But it doesn't really help, I don't think, so.
I think it's just probably, it's a really awkward thing because you're a mother-daughter or a father-son relationship is, you know, extremely sensitive where that area is concerned.
Right.
A mother doesn't, or a father doesn't want his daughter to be, you know, having even sexual feelings. So
right.
I think it's very difficult for them. But that's why I think because there are families like that and do have difficulty discussing those things, that it is absolutely of the utmost importance that education be in schools compulsory, and the government should make that the law, whether parents don't like it or not, especially in this day and age. I don't care what country you're in, even if you're in Korea and they say there's no AIDS, which is just misinformation. You know, there are other sexual diseases out there that can stay with you for life, and you know, they might not be life-threatening, but they're certainly not comfortable. And, you know, there's AIDS, there's... Oh, there are so many different things.
STDs, sure.
You know, other than pregnancy, mm-hmm. to worry about.
Yeah, like psychological things.
Sure.
Social
I definitely
factors.
Agree with Daisy there. That's definitely true. And then also, it doesn't just rely on the government or the schools. People always say, hey, it starts with the home, and it really does. Mm-hmm. And, for example, I mean, if you were to put yourself in those same shoes, if I had a daughter or son, I mean, I eventually know I have to talk to them. I'm sure this is the position that many parents are put in, is I need to eventually talk to my child about something like this, but are they there yet? And so they kind of, you know, test you out, maybe test out the waters by coming up to you and say, so, is there anything you want to talk about? Kind of like in Luke's situation. But then, of course, the kid's in the same situation where it's an awkward topic for them, too. And so you're not going to say, yeah, Dad, actually, I want to know about this, so, you know, of course, you're just going to keep avoiding the topic. And so you never end up talking about it, even though your child may be 16, 18, 20. You never want to admit to yourself, oh, my child is sexually active,
right,
or is
right.
going to be. And so you never want to really go and you know, yes, Bo?
yeah, well, that's exactly right. And that's how I felt when I first had my daughter. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to be a strict dad, and she's never going to have sex, and she's not going to be boys and all this stuff. And then I met another father who has a similar situation. We'll call him Cooter. And Cooter's opinion was that that's so stupid. I mean, she's just going to rebel against you even more, and she's going to become
right.
like a prostitute, and she's going to do it for money. And, you know, it's just a natural response. A natural thing, you know, that's what
God
people
forbid
do.
God forbid your daughter hear this 10 years from now.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, yeah, I kind of realized you're exactly right, and I can't do that. I can't, like, you know, lock her up and put a chastity belt on her or get the chastity rings. Just have to kind of try to raise her naturally and hope, like, she'll be smart enough to make her own decisions.
I hope that she has good judgment.
I definitely think that the more informed you are, the smarter you are. Think about it. When you look at two 18-year-olds, for example, and you have one that is very much educated and aware of her surroundings and current events and whatnot, and one that is not so much aware of everything and informed, when you see the ignorance and the naivety of one child versus the other, you know, the person that has more knowledge, you know, yeah, they know what's going on, but then also they're going to be more aware of the bad things, and they're going to be smart about their choices and decisions versus the one that's not so aware. And so out of curiosity and ignorance, she's going to go in there and most likely be in a lot more dangerous situations.
I think all kids respond to just frankness and openness, and it's really hard to do with a topic like that. But I find that, like, coddling kids and just going, like, goo-goo, gaga and stuff,
right.
often they're just like, okay, someone's making stupid voices to me. That's not how they really talk when they're among themselves. Mm. So I think they'd really respond to a subject like that, which is very sensitive, if you can just show them that you're comfortable talking about it, like, at an early age, even if you're not. If you can sort of, I don't know, be open about stuff and be available to talk about those sorts of things, I think it wouldn't be such a hard thing to talk about, because it really is a natural thing, and
right.
it's such an obvious thing, and it's just all this other sort of social conditions that make it sort of dodgy to talk about, you know?
And who here at the age of 15 or 16 didn't think they were mature enough or adult enough to hear something like this? When your parents do talk to you like that, you're like, yeah, whatever, and then it just makes you revolt against them more when they speak to you at such a level. You know, if your parents had actually taken you at the age of 15 and set you aside and said, hey, you're an adult now, you're mature enough to listen to this, and let's just talk to each other like adults. This is how it is, and if you're going to get involved, or I would prefer that you don't, let me know, this is how it goes. If they were very frank with you, I mean, I honestly think that I would have probably responded not only with that, you know, the whole sexual aspect, but with many other aspects as well, at a much more mature level. Mm-hmm. And probably, I would have probably grown up a little bit.
Mm. You're saying that if your parents were frank with you, then you would respond. I disagree with that.
You do? Why?
Yeah, because I think the point that you made, that teenagers do think that they are mature, because of that reason, they don't want to listen to anybody. And I think you don't realize that until you become an adult. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're frank with them, they're going to be, yeah, whatever, whatever, whatever.
Yeah, that you have towards them. I mean, if you're treating your children like a baby the entire time, I mean, the...
And then suddenly come out and say, okay, let's talk about the birds and the bees.
Exactly.
I mean, you have to be open with them even from a young age. Like, just sort of let them know, like, this is what makes girls girls, this is what makes boys boys. And, like, start at the really basic stuff like that. But, I mean, just
build it up, make it a constant process.
Because the entire raising the child experience is an educational thing from the very beginning. It leads gradually and slowly and eventually towards the sex education thing as well.
Okay, thanks. I'll remember that.
Well, you know, I just think that we're so way beyond this discussion. I don't think it's even about how we approach it with our kids anymore. I think it just should be forced down their throats. Mm-hmm. I think whether the government has to do that, the school has to do that, or the parents, it should be made some law that makes it compulsory. Because I don't want my child, even if she can't talk to me, even if I have a great relationship with my child, if he or she can't talk to me, I want to know she's getting that information somewhere else, because it's just way too dangerous. You take Korea for an example. You know, here's a country that has basically, my niece, I asked her what she gets in school, and they're still just giving them the biological processes. Mm-hmm. You menstruate, the penis is inserted into the vagina, so on, so on, so on. And she really knows nothing about how to protect herself from pregnancy. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know anything about sexual diseases. She still thinks, and so does the rest of Korea, which just makes me insanely angry, that you can get AIDS by drinking out of the same cup as someone. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just misinformation. And the thing, this is a country that has nightclubs that have professional, you know, hookers working there. And it's not just Korea, it's the rest of Asia as well. And it's okay to have hookers working in nightclubs as you know, girls that peel your fruit or pour your drink, but it's not okay to teach the rest of the country that you need to wear a condom, that you need to protect yourself, that there's AIDS, there's other sexual diseases out there.
What are the names of those nightclubs?
Anyways, I do have to agree with Daisy on one point, is the actual amount of education you're getting. And at what age, too? As I was saying before, I learned about the anatomy in elementary school. But then, like I said, especially when you're at that age, you're very sensitive and you hear a lot of information. And that's not actually factual. A lot of it is just a lot of gossip the kids pass around. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you do this, you get this, and this happens to you, and such and such. And it's literally 90% of it is all false. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's false information, and you should be informed with factual information, whether it's from school or homes or whatever. And I mean, even to this day, even from adults that I speak to, my friends, there's a lot of people that are totally misinformed about certain things. I mean, they may know it up to a certain point, but then they don't know the rest of it, you know. And I mean, I'm talking to 30-year-old adults who don't know the entire picture, you know. And I mean, when these children are going up to junior high and they know basically the little skeleton, but they don't know the meaty part of it, and then they hear all these rumors, even though you think you're supposed to know, you're not so sure. And so when you hear these rumors, oh, that must be true. I mean, if they get factual information instead of being misinformed by their peers, wouldn't that change a lot of things?
Sure. When I was growing up, a lot of people that I knew who were starting to experiment with sex were under the understanding that you couldn't get pregnant the first time. And you couldn't get pregnant if you did it in a certain position, if the girl was on top or something. So that was sort of a form of birth control. And I wonder how many people, you know, got themselves in a lot of trouble. That's the first time. Forget about it.
Get the girl to believe that, then you're in there.
Yeah, you're set up.
I have a totally prime example, and this is just something recent that I had recently read. I heard that in Korea, a form of, I don't know if it was Korea or America or whatever, but maybe 20 years ago, a form of birth control was pulling out before the male ejaculates.
And it helps.
I mean, it helps, yeah, but that is not 100%. That is not
coitus interruptus.
Yes.
That is totally not, you know, and I was trying to explain, no, actually, you know, it leaks out a little bit, and then also even, but that's totally not contraception. And then the second fact, which wasn't a fact, was there were many women that were confused as to when you're menstruating, if you have intercourse, you couldn't get pregnant. Mm-hmm. Or when you were menstruating, that was the time when you do get, you know, pregnant, which was true. And so they were confused as to which was actually true. And so that is very dangerous information to have if you're on the wrong side of...
Well, that's the rhythm method, and that's what the Catholic Church tried to get everybody to use, and that's how Catholic... That's why Catholic parents have so many children.
That's why it's the main religion in Christianity.
If you were to go to a doctor and ask him, is this true or not, he'd probably laugh in your face because, first of all, that is not a way to, you know, protect yourself, and perhaps if you don't want to conceive children, that is not the way to go about things. And second, it isn't true, you know? I mean, that is totally false information.
Yeah. But it's hard if people don't, if kids don't have anywhere to go to other than friends who also don't know the score. And if parents aren't really forthcoming with that kind of information and they don't get it in the schools, like where are they going to get
well,
it? There's really not
why,
a lot of sources.
You know, I urge, you know, parents to go and join their PTA, to write their local member, to get their governments to do something to have it made compulsory in schools.
I think it is actually in the States.
It is
in America,
but the,
yes.
The problem is with that is even though like anything else, U.S. history is compulsory, but you got a lot of the kids in the poor neighborhoods don't go to school.
Right.
So they're not showing up for the class. They're not.
Well, that's why I think that there needs to be some type of standard in, you know, sex education in schools. And as Bo said, you know, of course there are the poor kids, you know, in poor neighborhoods that aren't getting that education. But there are, you know, the government, even in the States, is trying to do things about that. I mean, they've got welfare offices set up and people that go out and they talk to women who are single mothers and are having children and give them information about, you know, how to protect themselves both from sexual disease and pregnancy. And I think it has to be a national effort in any country that you live in. And if you have children and you're not involved, then you're not doing enough. You have to go, you have to write to your local member. You have to go to the village meeting and discuss these things. They're important. And if you're not involved, then if your child does get pregnant, then you are responsible for that.
And I think this eventually leads to another question that is actually a very hot issue, especially in the Western countries these days. I mean, what if all of this sexual education, it didn't work out in the end? Hey, what if it just didn't work out the way you wanted it for your daughter or son? And what if they did get pregnant? Or what if they got someone else pregnant? They'd be in a situation where what? They may be students, and they couldn't finish their education, or they'd be forced to have home education. There's a lot of situations going on out there. And, of course, even as a young adult or an elder adult, you may get pregnant, and that is not the situation that you had planned on.
Mm-hmm.
There are some options out there for you, and they're difficult options. We can discuss some of the options first and see how we all feel about this. Obviously, the topic is adoption. Okay, those are one of the choices. Yeah, that's one of the choices. But abortion, it is a really hot, steamy issue. Lots of people get very sensitive about this one. So let's start off by saying, like, where we kind of stand. Are you pro or are you against abortion? Are you for abortion? And second, let's talk about the choices that are involved with that.
Okay.
You want to start up, Bo? Are you...
Me?
Luke? Bob?
I think that...
Which side are you on first?
I don't choose either side. I'm neither pro-choice or pro-life, but I do believe that there shouldn't be an abortion if people can be responsible, if they have the ability to be responsible, but they're just choosing not to be because, oh, it's going to be so hard on me. I don't agree with that. I agree in extreme situations where, depending on how that child is going to be raised, if the child is going to just grow up to be, you know, raised in a terrible environment, then maybe the best choice would be to, you know, go ahead for the abortion. If it had to do with the mother's health, basically, yes.
Okay, let's get back to that in a minute here. We can talk about the details. Okay, Daisy, you want to tell us where you stand?
Okay. Well, actually, I just wanted to ask Bo a question. I just wanted to ask him if you do have, like, obviously I understand what you're saying, and probably pretty much most people's views are the same, but how could you make a law to make a standard for that type of thing? How could you say it's okay for this person to have an abortion, but it's not okay for a woman in her 30s who's not married but has the financial ability to have a child?
There's a wide gray area.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a lawmaker. I don't know. That's just it's just my opinion. That's
exactly
how I think. And it should be talked about more. People that do make laws and people that do make their decisions, you know, who have these problems and these situations should come up, and it should be talked about. And
but you're basically pro-choice, but you don't think, you don't feel that it should be used as a form of birth control, for example.
If you have to label it, but I think within the label of pro-choice, there are extreme pro-choice people and there are extreme pro-life, but I'm more, in the middle of both of those.
Of course.
I suppose.
Yeah, I would say the same. I would say I'm definitely pro-choice, but I think that abortion is not something that you just sort of do for the heck of it. But I don't think that's in a human, in a person's nature. I mean, if someone's gonna have a child, a woman obviously is gonna have a child, there's gonna be some kind of attachment to, and some kind of like a psychological factor there that doesn't make it an easy decision in any situation. I think if it's a repeated thing, if it happens continually, there's obviously a problem there, and I don't know. It's hard to regulate that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that someone who's definitely not ready and not interested in raising a child and isn't going to give 100%, or isn't just like mentally and emotionally prepared for it to happen, I don't know if it's a wise move. And if they're not fully committed to it, that's the first sign that it's like, oh, nope, can't, shouldn't do it. Shouldn't happen. Do the abortion. Give the child like a fair shot at having a real life, kind of thing.
So both you guys are kind of in the pro-choice section, but not very,
pro-life.
I don't think, like, for the extreme pro-choice people who say, like, it's going to ruin my career and this kind of thing, if that person has confidence in themselves, I believe that they could rise above that.
True.
And they could take care of a child. And then I think once that they started to raise the child, and they could, people do it all the time. They have careers and they raise children. They become successful, and the children go to college and they become successful and a great member of society. Mm-hmm. But to just say, like, to look ahead into the future and say, no, this is just going to ruin everything for me, so I'm just going to, cut this embryo out, and it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. But I believe that the extreme pro-choicers say that it's not a life yet. I believe it is a life. It's not a human yet, but it is life. Like, every cell in your body is life. Plants are life, mm-hmm. So that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Daisy, where do you stand? Do you have a firm stand on either way?
Well, I'm definitely pro-choice. I believe that abortion should be legal, mm-hmm. but for different reasons. Not because I don't believe that a fetus is not a baby yet. I believe exactly the same thing that Brandon, not because I believe that a fetus is not a baby at that point. I do believe it is a baby probably very soon after conception.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in agreement with Bo there, but I believe it is a necessary evil of our society, and that us, what we were discussing before, sex education, we've been negligent, and therefore many women are falling pregnant and don't have an option. Of course, there are these women that are career women and are saying that it won't fit in my life. But if that woman is so selfish at that point, I would rather, there are so many children that are neglected in our societies today, I'd rather she get rid of it than have it, because rather than see another child brought up in a selfish home,
right,
with a selfish mother.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel that if we go back to the 1950s, where women were having backyard abortions, sticking coat hangers up themselves and damaging themselves for lives so that they couldn't have another child, or women that are raped by their family or strangers on the street and have to hate that child for their entire life, I don't think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think the law should be there to protect women, and I think it's a total feminist issue, and I'm enraged when I hear men in government talk about it.
Well, there's a lot of details about each side. You know, for example, I could just bring up the fact lots of people, like for women, lots of people think it's the woman's choice. It is her body. Now, I could always say, okay, but there are so many people that want to adopt children that can't have children. Why couldn't this person, instead of having the child or, you know, and keeping it, why don't they have it, wait the 8 months or 10 months, have the child, and give it up for adoption to the couples who really, really want a child? But then that person can also argue, hey, that 8 to 10 months, that's a whole year out of my life. That's changing my body, and that really does change my life in a sense. And so maybe I don't want to partake in something like that. And so that could be an argument there. And then here's another argument a lot of people say.
One at a time.
Sure. Okay. But this kind of goes along with that. What if the woman doesn't want that, and then the man, there is always a man in the, right, involved. I mean, we always say it's the woman's body, but is it the man's choice as well? And what if he does want the child and the woman doesn't? Let's attack this one.
Okay, I believe that if it's a man and a woman that are involved in a mutual loving relationship and they're living together and they have the means to have that child, I believe in that case that the man has a 50% say. If it was a casual one-night affair, I don't think he has a choice. Mm-hmm. He was simply sleeping with the woman, and they were mutually using each other, if you like. I don't think he has any say in that woman, because she had a one-night stand with him for 9 months. She has to bear his child. That's absurd.
But if he's saying he's willing to support it and he wants her to go through with it, well, it's up to the woman then to consider.
Yeah, it is up to her.
But the man actually, if he is a full partner in the relationship, mm-hmm, has exactly 50%.
I think that he does have a say.
Even though it's the woman's body, 50%, exactly half.
50%? Would you like it to be 40?
I know. I'm just curious. Like, yeah.
If it was 50%, you couldn't really do anything.
You have to take it to the court, and a court
of
law would decide.
What should the law be?
What should the law be?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they'd have to take. Do I think? I guess every situation's going to be different. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if the woman could possibly lose her entire career, say she's in a country like Korea where, you know, I mean, some women are discriminated against if they're married and have children in the workplace. Mm. If it's going to discriminate against her career and she's got a great future ahead of her, then, you know, I think we should be more thinking about the woman if it's likely that she can have more children in the future.
I'm surprised you gave the man 50%. That's not why I said it. That's
also
very generous.
Take into consideration that we're kind of thinking more along the Western side. I don't know about Europe or other countries, but in America, a woman has 6 months maternal leave. So, you know, before she even shows, she can take off and come back after she's had the baby. In Korea, apparently you don't have maternal leave.
Right.
You can only leave for, what, 1 month? I'm not even sure, but you certainly don't have 6 months.
Two months.
Anyways, but either way, I mean, the situation is totally different. That would totally put you back if you were in a different country.
It would. And I think that's something to take into consideration. But even in our countries, I mean, even though it's more accepted and there's a lot of people that generally do support pro-choice, mm, you've got to consider religion. There are so many religious factions, mm-hmm, in every country. And me, I grew up in a Catholic family. If my father heard me talk like this, he'd probably have a cow. But these are my choices. But I'm not making my choice on, you know, a scientific fact or even a religious or an emotional fact. I see it as a necessity in our society, and I do believe it's a feminist issue.
Well, that's the idea here, too. It's kind of in Korea or in Asia, it's a catch-22 because, according to society, you know, you're not supposed to fornicate. But people do, mm-hmm, because it's natural. They want to have sex, and some, you know, accidents happen, and they have a baby. But then they make abortion illegal, and you're not. And if you're pregnant out of wedlock, then you're looked down on in society. So what are you supposed to do, really, in that in that case?
Exactly.
They set up things here in this confusion society, so that you have no choices, really.
But I do think it's become a little too common, as Luke was saying before. There are some women out there that are using this as a form of contraception, which is just amoral.
Yeah.
You know, it's not acceptable. And I think that we need to kind of get back to educating people that this is not okay. And it's not, apparently, I was told by a doctor that it's not good for a woman. The more a woman has an abortion, the less chance she has of falling pregnant again.
Right, and having a healthy baby, right. too. And it causes problems for herself, too.
Yeah. So I think if we are going to clamp down as a society on abortion, not saying it's wrong that women still have these choices, but offer other
alternatives.
Alternatives and opportunities for them. Okay, say to the career woman, all right, if you have this child, these are the benefits we can give you. This is the help we can give you in finding the child a good home, you know, with adoption and things like that. Think about if the government wants to, you know, move away from so many people having abortion, then offer other alternatives and options.
Mm-hmm. The options certainly do have to be there, but also there's the moral aspect. You know, if you are doing it for contraceptive reasons or because it was an accident and you really weren't careful or because you could have it but you couldn't. And anyways, but we have to make that moral issue much more of a stronger point in society now. And also, I mean, if you were doing it just, you could have the baby, but oh, I just don't want to, and this was just an accident, and that should be like a public thing. People would actually, it should be like a standard that we think that is not right, you know? I mean, you should only do this in the case of, well, this is my personal opinion, but if you were raped or in extreme circumstances, if you're very young and it really was an accident and you have no other options left to you, I mean, then I think that should be an option for you.
This is kind of getting back to what we were talking about, or I was talking about before with the titles of pro-choice and pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
But have you seen the movie, what is it, If Walls Could Speak,
yes.
and it's all about abortion?
If Walls Could Talk.
Well, If Walls Could Talk, yes. In Boston, there's a lot of abortion clinics, and there's a lot mm-hmm. of pro-lifers who stand outside. And there was a guy that was close to my house, an abortion clinic that was close to my house, and a guy went in there and killed one of the doctors. Now, he's under the title of pro-life, which is kind of a contradiction because he's mm-hmm. taking a life.
Exactly.
He's trying to save, but he's, and his excuse is that I'm trying to save many lives by taking one. But how does that work? Mm. You know, I don't understand
well,
that.
Well, it's like a vigilante kind of instance. And yeah, that he is kind of contradicting himself, but he's saying, I will save a majority
right.
versus
so many
one.
Babies,
I know
fetuses.
What he's saying, but I mean, those women that are gonna that have gone through the decision, the hard task of making that decision to go there, are not going to stop there.
Right.
Yeah.
What is fascinating to me is that, you know, there's so much talk and people protesting outside of abortion clinics today. But abortion has been around for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't performed by a doctor. It was basically, you know, you go to your local herb doctor or witch doctor, and you can... an abortion can be performed with simple herbs like ginger and parsley.
Mm.
And this has been going on for centuries. A lot of tribes in Africa, they believe that it is solely up to the woman as the giver of life.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the representation of God. And if she falls pregnant, then it is her decision whether she brings that life forth. They believe that if that life is not wanted, then why should it be brought into the world? It should be brought into the world when it's loved. And they've been using these herbs for centuries to mm-hmm. perform abortions. So it's not a modern-day issue. And it's not something, you know, in other cultures, it is accepted within their religions. So, you know, I kind of don't understand why people are... maybe because it's just public now. I don't get it.
Well, that makes it a very easy decision for the man who had impregnated the woman.
Right.
In that culture. Just
right.
If it's up to her, okay, you do it. He doesn't have to pay for anything, and he doesn't have to have any guilt. And
he doesn't have to go out and hunt goats or something.
Yeah, or
like
drive her
said,
there. And
I think the moral issue should be really emphasized. I mean, first of all, men should take responsibility. It's not a hit-and-go kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should stick around even if you weren't involved until the process is over and through with, whether it's carrying it out to the end or watching it through until she has the baby. And I should always emphasize adoption being an option. You know, if all else fails, hey, you know, I honestly think if that were to happen to me, adoption, you know, and I couldn't find other options for myself, I would always consider adoption the last resort you know...
Abortion, like, the last resort?
No, no,
adoption.
I mean, that should be something that's there. You know, if I can't keep this baby, or if we can't raise it together or something, or if my parents couldn't raise it, that should always be...
I agree that bringing a child to term and seeking out that route is the noble thing to do.
Sure. Right.
But I just don't think everybody is up to it. And if they're not up to it, I mean,
exactly.
If they're, like, way too stressed and they're way too freaked out and they're going through this turmoil, I think that a lot of the formative stuff that goes into a baby's character probably happens in the womb before it's even popped out.
You know, they're always talking about people who are raped or in, you know, abuse situations where it was a very...
Traumatic event.
Okay, incident. And so maybe they don't even want this at all.
Not always, though. A friend of my grandmother's, I remember this story when I was young. I met her, and she had this really great personality. I always thought of her as this funny lady. She was traveling in the Philippines and was raped at night. She had no idea who it was, and she had the baby. And I remember the kid, and the kid was... just like her. She raised the kid, and the kid was very happy, I believed at the time. So it just depends on, you know, who raises the kid, I suppose.
We're talking about the person themselves, not the baby, too. I mean, it does depend on the person. You know, you could be a very young girl and have been raped. I mean, this may be traumatic for you. And not only that, but there are also health reasons why, like, young children, if your body is not fully developed, you cannot carry a baby to term. It's dangerous to your body. And so a lot of doctors make that argument that, you know, if your body has not come to age yet or is not fully developed, you are not up to bearing a baby yet.
Well, not just that. I mean, you know, I mean, you've got a 17-year-old kid who's promiscuous and is pregnant, and you're going to leave it up to her to take care of her body for 9 months? She could be drinking. She could be having more... sex, she could be taking drugs, you never know. But the point that Beau made about the story about his grandmother, I mean, in an ideal society... in an ideal society, we'd all be doing that. But it's not an ideal society, and it's up to us to provide other options. Or, I think the only way we're going to solve this problem is by educating our children. Letting them know that, of course, yes, abortion exists. Because if we make it illegal again... we're going to have women hurting themselves, and there's going to be butchers, you know, in abortion clinics, you know, just cutting these women up, and it's just going to go back. It'll be chaos.
Knowledge is power.
It is. So let's treat our kids. Let's teach our kids so that this doesn't happen. So we're not having them pregnant. They're not getting the diseases, and this doesn't become an issue.
Yeah, they have to have all the options available to them, but it has to start at the very foundations of the education system again. And it's like, and people have to impress. Of course, I think it's a human nature to want to see, if something like that happens, you want to see it come to term. You want to see a new life brought out into the world. That's the human, that's the basic fundamental human impulse, is to like procreate. And that's the most beautiful thing. It doesn't work for everybody. It doesn't, and happily in every situation. So for that reason, I think it has to be an option. But ultimately, I disagree with doing it. And it's a shitty thing. Yeah, it's a shitty thing to have to go through. And I'm sure, and I'll never experience it, but women I know who have done it, it's been like, you know, the hardest decision they've ever had to make to actually go through with it.
But then the problem is that today, you know, I actually have a friend in Australia, and she's had 5 abortions, and she's 28.
Yeah.
And she's using it as a form of contraception. And she said, I just had my 5th abortion when I last went home. And and I said to her, do you not, like, know about the pill or, you know, other forms of contraception? And she said, yeah, but if I take the pill, you know, I'm going to gain weight. And this is just, like, she's just become such a superficial person where she can check herself in her lunch break into an abortion clinic, have an abortion, come out, and go back to work.
Yeah,
and has no emotional attachment whatsoever.
See, in that situation, it is extreme. And I mean,
extreme. It's unacceptable. It's amoral, you know?
Well, obviously, we have a group of people here that, you know, we don't have any extreme people. You know, we're not extremely pro-choice or pro-life. But how about we attack this question? We obviously are kind of pro-life, but also pro-choice. But for the extreme pro-choice people, of course, they want to say, hey, from day one, the child is alive, and you can't kill it after that day, right?
Pro-life people.
Right. So, I mean, where exactly, in your opinion, does life begin? Because in America, I think for most states, you know, abortion is legal or not, or illegal in states, depending on it's their decision. But usually it's, I think, 2 months is the
you can
limit.
You can have an abortion up to your first trimester.
Right, somewhere around there. So in your personal opinions, how far can you take it, or you shouldn't take it at all? Or
I already answered that earlier. I said that I believe it's right from the beginning, even before the egg and the sperm meet. It's life is in everything.
You think?
Yeah, I believe
you
that.
You too, Luke. What about you, Daisy?
Well, you know, I believe that I said that, you know, mm-hmm. shortly after conception, I believe it's becoming a child, a mm-hmm. baby, a human. But I don't believe that it's a life until it's connected with the mother and the mother has connected with it. Yeah. And I believe that when the woman makes that decision that I'm going to have this child and I'm going to love this child, or I'm going to carry this child so it will be loved by someone else, then it's a life. And then it's a life that it's important.
It's funny
important.
How it becomes, it's I think it's not a life from the beginning, but as it becomes more complex, it's a trickier decision. It's kind of like how you feel bad about killing a bird, but you don't feel bad about squishing a bug. Mm-hmm. It's all life, and you'll feel bad about plucking a dandelion. It's just higher things that we see as being more close to us are harder for us to try to snuff out. Mm-hmm. And as a child develops and grows and becomes more like us with our own genetic material, I think that's when it really starts becoming yee.
The mm-hmm. reason I ask this question is because, sure, when we look at it that way, it's a simple answer. Hey, you know, it's life from the beginning or whatnot. But what if we made that situation more complicated? What if it was your daughter, Bo, and she was raped by some stranger on the street? Listen. And she's only a teenager. She's young. She was raped. She doesn't know who the hell this person was, you know? And what if she's put in that situation? What if she didn't know she was pregnant? Hey. And wait, what if she's, a lot of people don't show until, their third or fourth month, am I right, Daisy? Mm-hmm. I mean, what if she found out after the first trimester, after a certain point where a lot of people don't agree, hey, after this point you shouldn't have it, but what if the situation was totally, she's too young, she's, you know, emotionally upset and she cannot accept this?
Well,
what if she made the choice that she doesn't want it? How would you feel about that?
Now?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I'm the dad of this person. You're a woman. What if it was you? What would you do? I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, okay, but what if it was your partner? What if it was your female counterpart? Then it's your choice together, right?
Yeah, I don't know what I would do. What would you do if it was you?
But see, that's what I'm asking. When you simply say, when does life begin and how far can you take it? You guys earlier said from day one, but then when you complicate the situation, you really can't give an answer.
Well, you can, because the law says after your first trimester, you cannot legally have an abortion. And I'd be pretty...
But not in all countries.
Well, almost all of them.
But say that wasn't true. That's what it is. The whole
say
issue.
That wasn't true?
No. I'm saying the whole issue is they're still arguing where does life begin, where does it end, whether to make this legal or not. I mean, that's where I'm asking. If the situation was complicated like that, I mean, and it was your own daughter or your own mate, I mean, could
I
you
think
say...
once they hit elementary school, it's too late to abort.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I mean, that's a tough, you know, I mean, that's basically the scientific evidence that most pro-lifers argue with pro-choices. And, you know, the scientific information, for me, it's more of a spiritual thing. I think that it's wrong to just use abortion as contraception, which we've all said, but I do believe that it is a connection that that connection makes life, our connection with each other, our relationships with each other, and my future relationship with my child. When I have a child, I know I'm pregnant, and when I accept that and I'm already loving that child and bringing it into life, that's when the connection for me would be. And I think most women feel that way.
And I think it's easy to talk about, you know, when you're in a vacuum and saying this is the right thing and I'm morally like this and I believe in this thing. But, unless you have experience in all the emotions that come with it and the actual going through with it, who knows what you're going to do? I mean, you don't know what you think. It's easy to, take these hypothetical situations and say, well, in my, you know, after thinking through it and stuff and go through all this pedantic sort of BS. But, I mean, doing it is actually where you're going to find your answer.
Yes.
And being put in that situation You can't rationalize that.
Well, that's why it is what it is today, and everything's messed up is because everybody, not everybody has gone through it, so we have these opinions, which we think this could be a basic foundation. But people will still, from now till the end of time, I think they will still keep talking about this and keep going through the same situations over and over again. You just keep your opinions, you know, like what you think, and you try to do the best. You hope, of course, a situation like that would not happen. But if it does arise, then you try to deal with it as it comes. And
That's fine. These people in the government,
on your behalf, of course.
But these people in the government are going to make decisions about my future and my body, and I want to have a say in that. And I'm not impressed when conservative Rush Limbaugh or whoever else it happens to be in government at the time would stand up there and tell me what rights I have as a woman and what I can do with my body. I'm offended.
But there are also Republican or conservative women in Congress who are voting for these laws,
Yes, they are. But they have a right to talk about that because they're women. I accept that. But I don't... I draw the line when I've got a bunch full of white male conservatives discussing my future and other women's future.
Right. I agree with that. But I do believe, I'm sorry to go against all the females out there, but I do believe they do have a word in there because a very small word, and nothing a big word.
I think for a woman, in a situation where it wasn't a mutual relationship, and this has happened in experience with people I know, not a close situation, all of a sudden a pregnancy came up unexpectedly. The man was, I want no part of this, and the woman was like, don't sweat it. I don't want to make you a part of it. That's fine. If you're interested in pursuing it further, then go ahead. But I'm choosing to go ahead with this anyways. And I think the guy eventually sort of just came around to the idea, and he wanted to be a part of it. It's like she was going to go through with it anyways. She was like, I'll find a way. I really want to do this. I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to do it. And then she came. Then the guy was just sort of like, oh, she's doing it without me. That's half my kid, man.
Actually, you know, I think that happens in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
It's one partner makes the decision. It's like somebody is waiting for the other one to say, yes, we can do this. And then once you get that consensus, then you go ahead and then you find out what child rearing is and child bearing and child rearing and it turns out
to be a very rewarding experience.
Exactly. Thank
you. I just want to touch base on what that just reminded me of is, what if the woman were to go ahead and consent to this and say she wanted the baby and it was the male that didn't want anything to do with it? And doesn't he have something to say when he says, I don't want my child being born? What about that aspect of the story? No?
No.
No?
I don't think
so. Okay.
I don't think I'd feel in a place to ever tell a woman, you have to take that child's life. If she felt that she was good enough to do it and she was up for the job, no one else would be more qualified than her.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up with maybe a comment from each of us. How do you feel overall and maybe some thoughts?
I think Daisy brought up a really pertinent point, which can kind of almost sum up everything, is that education is the key point.
Definitely.
And, educate people and let them know what's going on as much as you can. Put more money into the schools for that purpose. And
the parents get involved, too. It's not just
talk
schools.
Talk to your kids.
Don't make it the school or the government's responsibility. Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, if we're able to do that, if we're talking to our children and we're teaching them in schools, getting them as much information as possible and trusting their judgment, maybe they won't even get to the situation where they'll have to think about abortion. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we got to do something.
And sadly enough, if you were put in that situation, this is my personal opinion, but I think each situation is different, regardless if it's pregnancy or violence or whatnot. You have to kind of take it for each circumstance at its own. We can't just judge everything.
There's no black and white.
Right.